Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Now, Derek Jones Jr. edged out Aaron Gordon on Saturday in a controversial ending to the dunk contest. But the dunk contest has seen many stars participate, but one big name that has never done it is LeBron James. And Skip, in your career, one of your long-running themes has been that LeBron needs to participate in the dunk contest.
Just one.
Why do you think this is?
This has been a pet peeve of mine since 2005, so I'm not coming late to this party. I'm not using 2020 hindsight. LeBron owed his billions of fans just one dunk contest. Michael Jordan did three dunk contests, and he won two of them, so he did lose one. And somehow he didn't lose any reputation because he lost a dunk contest, because most people know it's very subjective judging, and it can happen. I would suggest to you, if LeBron had done one, even if he had done this past Saturday night's dunk contest, he's just going to win because the judges are going to let him win because he deserves to be in one and to win one dunk contest. The excuse I always hear is, he's a power dunker. He's not a contest dunker. And yet, night after night, I watch him, and nearly every night, even at age 35, he pulls off one contest-worthy dunk. He pulled one off last night early in the All-Star game. If we could see the early one last night, this is contest-worthy. This would have gotten him 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 across the board. I mean, that's
it wasn't like the one he Houston, the Kobe, the one he did like Kobe to rock the baby.
We've got the reverse windmill. I know the two-handed. We've got it. Here's LeBron again. Let's see the Kobe dunk, which he said, you know, kind of the spirit of Kobe flowed through him. And he said it happened by accident. And suddenly I realized I pulled off a Kobe dunk. It's exactly the same dunk, same place, same way Kobe did it.
Here it is right here.
When Kobe did it. Here we go.
That was,
okay,
that
that's sweet. Tell me this wouldn't be 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Okay, so to me, he's trying to protect his reputation from the start because he feared that he would go lose the dunk contest to some 6'4 jump out of the gym kid who didn't even get drafted, like Derek Jones Jr., and he didn't want to somehow damage his reputation, his marketing reputation. And once it got out of control, once he missed four or five, then he kept saying, okay, I'll do next year's. And then he would back out at the last second, and it just drove me crazy because it's a time-honored tradition that stars do the dunk contest. Kobe did one dunk contest, and he won one. Yeah. And we know Dr. J did two, and I can just get Vince Carter did his one. All the superstar leapers or dunkers, they did their one or two, three
dunk contests. And when Dog did it in the NBA, he lost to Larry Nance.
He did?
He won the dunk contest in the ABA. People forget that.
So there's no huge shame in losing a subjectively judged dunk contest. And it just pains me, for the sake of the fans, that he wouldn't have been there because he set the tone over the last 10 years for stars saying, nah, I don't want any part of that because all the great dunks have been done. Well, that Kobe reverse windmill, that'll work. You can go do that. That would have worked Saturday night.
Skip, I keep...
Okay?
That ain't going to work, Skip.
No. Why not?
With these young kids, what they doing these days, they jumping over 7'2 guys.
Okay.
Yes!
So can he can still get up.
Not at 35.
He can get up.
He can. But, Skip, I think in order for you to be a great dunker, it comes from creativity. And when I look at LeBron, he has that one dunk. But can he put four creative dunks together, what we're seeing? They're going to a whole different level now. Now, Skip, nobody even dribbles the ball. Everybody is taking it off somebody's head. We saw Blake Griffin, six, 7 years ago, jump over a car. Take the ball out of somebody's head. See, this is where they're going with it, Skip. And now you got a guy jumping over a 7'5 guy.
Okay, but I'm just saying, even in 05, 06, 07, 08, there was one point in there LeBron should have done.
You know why? Because you keep telling me he's more like Magic Johnson.
Magic
Johnson ain't entered no dunk contest. Kobe was like Jordan.
Keep telling me he's the GOAT.
Yeah, GOAT.
If he's the GOAT, you got to do one dunk contest.
GOAT, what does GOAT do? They stand on abandoned cars.
They graze.
Buses. Yeah.
They graze.
They chill. They do what they want to do. Yeah. He the GOAT. He chill. Watch it.
I think too, LeBron, on another side, I think he uses those extra days for rest, too. I don't think he really care. That wasn't one of his goals, to win as a slam dunk contest.
Nope.
Obviously, be one of the greatest to ever play the game. Obviously, to get championships. and be at the top in all stats. I don't think dunk contest was won because, like you said, if he really wanted it, he could have went out and won one if he wanted to.
Okay.
But it would had to be, Skip, if you notice, guys normally participate in the dunk contest
early
within
their
first 5 years.
Yes, yes.
Once it got past that, Skip, guys ain't going to be no 29 and 30 actually trying to win the dunk. Mm. LeBron is 35.
Well, Dwight did it Saturday night, right?
And Dwight's head was above the rim. But we looking at like, Dwight, I mean, what you expect to
but
get
how many guys that's in the dunk contest the last couple of years are actually superstar leaders on their team? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, not
just
many.
Guys.
And then, to another point, all the great dunkers not even in the – like, Zach LaVine is one of the best ever. Mm-hmm. He should have been in the dunk contest.
He has done it.
Gordon wins this one, and now you say, you know what? We're going to put $250,000. We want Zion. We'll have a three.
That'll Gordon, help right there. Put
Zion
that money up.
And Tyson. Mm-hmm.
Put that money up.
$250,000.
Yeah, they'll
nobody
be there.
Else can get into it. Just those three guys. Zach LaVine, Zion, and Aaron Gordon. Yeah.
Okay.
You got to put the defending champ in there. You got to put – he's the defending champ?
But he's the defending champ, but he robbed. We're going to talk about this.
You can't get all 50s and lose.
And Lou, thank you.
But nobody even knew who he was outside the dunk contest, ooh, right?
You talking about Derrick Jones?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't even get drafted.
Yeah.
And so it's come to this for the dunk contest. It used to be the cavalcade of superstars.
You had Jordan, right? you had Clyde.
Dominique. Yeah.
You had, like I said, Dr. J, you had the stars.
The elite.
Okay, and now we don't even know who they are half the time, right?
Is he a starter? Is Derrick Jones, did he start?
He started sometimes, but, you know.
that just goes to show what... Look,
he does a great job for Miami.
Yeah.
He does a great job for Miami.
I mean, he's a great leaper, but all his dunks look the same between
all
the leg, tomahawk.
Left hand.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you see that one where Foles threw it off and he caught it?
Man, that's unbelievable.
You got to hit
that. All his dunks were unbelievable.
Did you ever do a contest?
I could never do it because that's not my game. Mm. I'm a finesser. I'm a scorer. I've never been a jumper.
Yeah, no.
I probably dunked on one person my whole career.
You know, they had a dunk contest once upon a time, Alex, at Savannah State. I didn't enter it.
Okay.
Let me tell you what happened. I was just sitting out there chilling. Everybody, ooh.
Where at Savannah State?
We're at Savannah State. Okay. And everybody oohing and aahing. So I snuck back to my dorm room, got my little outfit, had my Jordan, the cements. I came back in there. They saw me come down the steps. Everybody, ooh, ooh. They got hyped. I brought out two guys, put them in chairs, took off.
Wait, they were sitting down?
They were in chairs, yeah.
Well, that's not exactly...
You took off?
I took off. I got a picture of it.
I got to see that.
I'm going to write a picture.
I was about to ask
you
for footage.
Did you have to step on their heads?
No!
Some elevation?
You got to realize I was almost 50-foot triple jumper, okay. So I had... They call you boy the escalator, because I go real slow.
Okay.
You know, elevator take you up real fast. Not the escalator, I go slow. And then when you're going off, I'm going a little high.
You have to
bam!
That
was that when you weighed 190?
I'm about 215.
215?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
No.
So you should want your man to have done one dunk contest.
Nah.
You could do a dunk contest.
But Skip, when I look at LeBron is a power dunker. He will dunk on you. And some guys are like Gordon to dunk on you, but he has creativity also.
Yeah.
I don't look at LeBron as a creative dunker.
He's got the highest IQ in all of basketball.
Yeah,
you don't think he could think of five dunks?
We do a lot of different things. We'll pass, we'll shoot the three, we'll drive on you. We do all that stuff. But dunking ain't what we do.
Huh. You do it every night. You did it last night.
Just one time.
You brought down the house.
We got to get a fan something.
Yeah.
I mean, you pay
some style points.
Yeah, we give you a little something.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about judges across the board.
We got to make, with the judge, that's one thing, too. We got to make sure we don't have actors up there, bro. Mm. Candace Parker was great. They all play basketball. But you got actors that probably never dunked in their life. But how can you judge a dunk if you've never dunked?
But they messed that up. I think D-Wade was supposed to get a man a 10.
Yeah, it gave him a 9.
That's how they came over 3 9s and 2 10. D-Wade saying, but you know, I wasn't the only one that gave him a 9, though. Yeah, but they were anticipating you giving him a 10.
And
they were going to be the guy that gave him the 9.
Uh-huh. That could have happened.
Mm-hmm. I think that's how it was supposed to play out. Because they said they wanted it to end in a tie.
Yep.
Right.
Well, so LeBron has chickened out his whole career, but that's it. 17 years, it's not going to happen now.
I don't know. Did you notice this? Mm-hmm. Do you know who have the most starts in NBA history for an All-Star game? I don't even know why I brought that. That ain't even none of my business. Why I bring that up, Stan?
The Kane.
Old GOAT. Go get what that shit gonna be? 17?
Yeah.
17 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this time he gonna come back there the champ.
Huh. Well, Jordan pulled off the most iconic dunk in the history of dunks.
He got robbed. And there was another robbery in Chicago. Dominique got robbed in 88, and Aaron Gordon got robbed in 2020.
Not true. He pulled off a dunk that brought down the house.
Yeah, that looks good. I had the poster with him going from the free throw lines, and he had that it back. Like, yeah.
He's got it right here.
That was
yeah.
That was unbelievable. He the best
incredible
to do it.
Steven, best thank ever you so much it for joining us. No mercy. Ja Morant was the runaway favorite to win Rookie of the Year until Zion Williamson returned from injury. Through 10 games this season, Zion is averaging more than 22 points and 7.5 rebounds. He also made headlines when he dunked so hard in the Rising Stars game that he bet the rim and backboard. Heading into the second part of the season, Ja remains the favorite to win the award, but Zion seems to be closing the gap. So, Shannon, who do you have winning the Rookie of the Year award at the end of the season?
Ja. Skip, I just think Zion has missed too much time. He's already missed 45 games. He's only played 10 games with a possible 27 more to go. So basically what we're going to have is a Joel Embiid, Malcolm Brogdon situation. Mm. Skip, you remember Malcolm Brogdon won the MVP because Joel Embiid had only played, I think he only played 31 games. Skip, need to have a look. I think even Zion missing so much time, had no one really separated themselves. But Ja's been spectacular. I think he's been as good as advertised, 17-7. And they're already surpassed the win total that Vegas had predicted they would have. Mm. And they passed that at the All-Star game. They're in the eighth spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess if Zion keep this streak up and somehow he can get them into the eighth spot, mm-hmm. all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I'm looking at it right now. As we stand here right now, I got Ja. I had Ja at the beginning of the year, and I'm not budging off of him.
Okay. I love Ja, but this ain't over. 27 games remaining, as you point out, except you did not point out the easiest schedule left in the entire NBA belongs to the Pelicans. The hardest remaining schedule belongs to Memphis. If, by chance, the 5.5 game gap is overcome by Zion and company, Zion's going to be right in the middle of this thing.
Yeah, he's going to be in the middle.
So he's already averaging 22-8. Let that rise up to 25-10, and he carries them into the eighth playoff spot, the last playoff spot.
Skip 45
I'm
games?
I'm sorry. That would do it. And I love what Ja's done. 18, and I got him 18-7.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. It's everything that I did expect from him. I did not expect Memphis to be in the eighth spot.
No, I don't think
they have been extraordinary. They're 28-26, so they're 2 games over 500, but that's good enough to hold off Portland 4 more games back and San Antonio 5 more games back and Pelicans 5.5 games.
Y'all, hold on. I know the Spurs ain't out of the playoffs.
I already told you. I'm done.
Yeah, you can't be done. That's your team. Okay,
I am not done with the Pelicans. I am not done with Lonzo Ball. I am not definitely not done with Zion. This is a loaded, young, must-see TV team. I'm watching all the way home.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't they get a national televised game on Friday?
And they did.
So, yeah, okay. they're up and down.
Okay.
They're going to be in the 120s, 130s. Zion is jumping out of the building, blocking shots. But, Skip, guys missed 45 games.
Easiest remaining schedule. Let him lift them into the eighth
spot. So what about those 45 games he missed? Yeah. What am I supposed to do about that?
Well, Skip, because you know what's going to happen? Everybody will forget about the 45.
Well, hold on. We're assuming that he's going to play in all 27 of the remaining games.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am assuming that. Okay. I'm just telling you, it's not over yet.
And over.
It's not a done deal.
Ja.
Yeah.
Ja.
And I told you before the draft, I love Ja, but long term, I'm taking Zion, and I think you're starting to come around.
No.
Yep.
Skip, I told you my concerns were they still are there. They're still there. As long as he can maintain his weight, stay injury-free, the sky's the limit. But
he's looking pretty special and explosive to me.
Ja don't look special.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only rookie that got a triple-dub.
Mm-hmm.
How many rookies got a triple-dub, Skip?
Okay.
Ja got one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now it heats up. You got 28 games left, Memphis, and you're playing the hardest remaining schedule.
Hey, don't try to get. See, there you go. You always try to put doubt in people's head.
I'm not. I'm just.
Yeah, they got the hardest schedule. They're in the eighth spot.
Okay, did I not just state a fact? They got the hardest remaining schedule just on record.
Well, if Memphis is what they think they are, they don't worry about the schedule.
Okay.
You just play your game.
I'm rooting for Zion as much as I love Ja, and I think He's got a real
Well, I mean, well, we're going to help Zion out on Friday.
They're both.
We'll help him out on Friday.
Maybe you should go to that game, actually.
You will.
That might be the game for you to watch.
Yep.
In person.
Now,
coming to town?
Yep.
Well, I had an arrangement I was supposed to go to, but that might be off the table now.
Oh,
an arrangement.
I was supposed to go to Floyd's birthday party.
Floyd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you ruined that.
Well, we'll have to see
I
if
think
you still
ruined
are
you
invited.
Ruined it.
That was on you, Shannon.
No mercy.
Veteran guard Reggie Jackson's contract was bought out by the Pistons yesterday. And now Jackson, who is averaging 15 points and 5 assists this season, plans to sign with the Clippers. The signing would bolster the Clippers' backcourt and bench after they already acquired forward Marcus Morris at the trade deadline. Fox Sports NBA analyst Stephen Jackson joining us this morning. So, Stephen, this question for you. Are you surprised that Jackson chose the Clippers over the Lakers?
I'm not surprised at all. The way his situation went in Detroit, he got hurt and ended up not playing the way he wanted to. Going to the Lakers, he still wouldn't play that much. The point guards are Rondo and LeBron. He has a better chance to play with the Clippers. I think with Patrick Beverley not being a great shooter, when they need a point guard to come in and score and facilitate, he can fall in that role well. That's the best decision for him. Anybody that know basketball know that's the best move for him. If he wanted to play and help his career, Lakers would be a bad move for him.
That was Daxie. I could have sworn if I didn't know, I could have sworn I said that earlier. it was like Kawhi. He wanted to play with Kawhi. We know that LeBron is going to play in the playoffs. He's going to play somewhere between 35 and 40 minutes a night.
Right.
He's going to have the ball in his hands. So with that being said, you got Pat Bev. We don't know his injury history. He might get nicked. And guess what? Now he's the starter. So now he's played, because Reggie Jackson has been a starter, played heavy minutes. So why would I go there knowing that I'm going to be the backup point? Automatically, I go to somewhere and I'm the backup point guard right away. It's like going to a company. Now, I can go somewhere and I can be number 3 in command, or I can go somewhere and be number 2 in command. Because as soon as number 1 goes down, guess who steps up?
Because
that's what he is. I can go somewhere and be vice president, or I can go somewhere and be president, and when the CEO steps away, they got your boy. That's what Reggie Jackson did. He said, because Pat Bev right now is the CEO running the thing, Skip. He goes down, I'm the president. I step right in. A no-brainer. But old Skip Bayless, you know what? You know what? You and KD need to have your Twitter confiscated because you constantly tweeted some bulljive. He turned it into a...
Well, at least I put my name on it.
Yeah, you didn't have any
You owned up to it.
You did what he did. They spurned LeBron.
I did not use that word.
Yeah, you did.
What
you
word exactly was it?
I don't remember. I said chose not to play with LeBron.
Yeah.
So, silly me, I don't know much about basketball, but the Reggie Jackson I came to love when he was in Oklahoma City Thunder, he's not really a true point guard. He's a combo guard. He can run some point, but he likes to shoot the basketball.
Yes.
Right.
He's actually more Sweet Lou Williams than he is Rondo.
Right.
Okay? So, in the end, I'm not buying that the playing time is going to be all that different because he's just a basketball player who can come off the bench like Sweet Lou does and just light things up. And he could have done the same things for and with LeBron James. He could have played that role.
Yeah, he can play with. But Skip, the thing is that he's better with them. Yeah, he can play off the ball, but he's better with the ball in his hands. That's why he left OKC. He's like, Russ. I need to go on my own team so he'll get an opportunity to run the second unit.
But the dynamic of him having Paul George and Kawhi,
yes.
It's going to be a lot of times in the playoffs where they're going to need a point guard to knock down shots. It's going to be a lot of double teams. And he might end up starting sooner than you know
it
because they're going to need him to knock down shots.
So what I'm seeing over time is I saw Paul George 2 years ago have a chance to go play with LeBron and go home to L.A. and play for the Los Angeles Lakers, who own Los Angeles. And he said, no, I think I'll stay with Russ for a year. And then all of a sudden, he gets a chance to go home, not to the Lakers, but to the Clippers and join Kawhi Leonard. And he says, yeah, I'll do that. I don't want to go to the Lakers. I don't want to play with LeBron. I'll go there.
Because he's going to be number three.
Oh.
Because he's going to be number three. Mm-hmm. You got Bron, you got Brow, and you got Paul George. Or you can go Kawhi, Paul George. Mm-hmm. Which one you choosing? Okay, Skip.
I thought most players would want to maximize their chance to win a ring. Just one ring.
Right.
And Reggie Jackson had a chance to say, I could join those star-studded Los Angeles Lakers. Maybe I'd have a better chance of winning a ring. No, I think I'll go with
Skip, the you make it seem like the man joined Portland.
Huh?
Clippers are the number three favorite behind the Bucks and the Lakers. Mm. So stop pretending.
Are they not the number one favorite, though? They're not. No.
We are.
Okay. So he said no to you.
That's okay.
Right? And then I'm going to throw this in. There was a period where Jimmy Butler had a choice. He had a chance, and he could have said, I'll be his teammate. No, Jimmy said, I'm my own man. I don't want this.
You got a chance to be number one, or you going to go be number three?
I'm going to be number one.
You're going to be number one, Skip.
You want to play.
No question.
So what I keep seeing again and again and again and again is the Clippers beating the Lakers off the court and on the court.
Why you got to do all that? Why you got to do it? You win the offseason. You got Kawhi and Paul George. Mm-hmm. Now you win in the regular season.
You are.
You getting Morris and you getting Reggie Jackson. Why they got to do all that? Why they need all that ammunition? Well, you ain't got nobody to go.
There's another guy. Thank you for bringing up Marcus Morris. He's his own man. He's a tough guy. He's a ninth-year veteran, and he could have finessed that trade. He could have said, I'm going nowhere but Lakers. And he said, no, I'm okay to go play.
I just want to know one thing. Can somebody help me understand? Why do you need military-grade equipment to take down a goat? Mm. Ain't nothing but a little goat. Mm. And you got all that heavy artillery. Mm. You loading up like you got Armageddon coming to take down a goat.
Wait a second. I keep hearing on this show that the MVP battle mm-hmm. is boiling down to the best player on the planet versus Anthony Davis. Why do you need all that?
Whoa, what you mean?
Huh?
What you mean?
Well, you got two of them vying for MVP, and they're on the same
team. They all go James.
Okay.
Because you saw what happened you saw the Nuggets. Now, the Nuggets, when LeBron was off the court, they came to Staples and beat the brakes off us. When we got LeBron on the court, the Nuggets can't see us.
Well, what just happened the last – I just saw last Wednesday night. I saw a game at Denver.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a good game.
And I saw LeBron put up big numbers. Down the stretch of the fourth quarter and overtime, LeBron was – awful.
And Denver had a good chance to win that game. Jokic didn't play that well that game.
Hey, guess what? Goat had 14 assists.
And who was the MVP of the game?
Goat James.
Anthony Davis hit two threes in the overtime to win the game.
Am I just going to disregard that 32, 14, and 12?
Yeah, LeBron was just walking to the basket.
Walking to him.
He can do that to everybody, though.
And he didn't walk enough because he had chance. He had Jokic with five fouls and couldn't foul him out. Just take it to him.
We didn't need to foul him out.
Huh.
We need to foul him out. We want him on the court.
Huh.
Because, see, he's slow with the defensive rotation. So they get somebody else out there going to knock down shots and faster with the rotation. Huh. So we did exactly what we wanted to do. Well, Skip, it's not always about getting the best player off the court. Sometimes in a defensive situation, remember, what did Giannis tell you about Sunday? What they were trying to do? Now, James Harden is the greatest offensive player that we have in the game. But come defensive time, what do they want? They wanted to go at him. So we wanted Jokic right where we had him.
Mm. You got to think about the Clippers, too. You don't want to add too much because you got to add everybody in. Yeah. You still ain't added in your two stars at the same
time. I'll give you that.
You know what I mean? So that could be a problem coming at the end of the season.
Are the stars going to play more than 5-6 game together?
Well, I'm saying just they got to play together going into the playoffs to have some type of chemistry.
I'm glad you brought that up.
You can't just throw them in there.
I told him that's his only hope. Injury.
What other hope?
Because the only hope is they don't gel in time for the playoff run, because I don't know how much Paul George is going to be able to play down the stretch.
With Kawhi at the same time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
But now you've added in Marcus and you add in Reggie.
Look at LeBron. LeBron take pieces right before the trade deadline and get them to the finals. If Kawhi is what you said he is, it should be no problem.
Mm. Well, LeBron is the unofficial GM of the Los Angeles Lakers. Apparently thinks he's good because they did nothing at the trade deadline. And when it came buyout period, they bought out nobody.
What's the name of that show? Is it Chopped, Iron Chef? Where they give you they give you a bunch of ingredients. They might give you chocolate, give you strawberries, give you a lobster, give you scallops, give you bell pepper. Yeah. Think, but go make me a dish. Get LeBron James anything. If they get him to the final, okay.
So you're saying they're good enough to go win it right here, right?
Good enough!
Yeah.
Didn't he tell you that?
Huh.
Now, he told you when LeBron, you haven't gone when you're not the one or the two seed. What did LeBron tell you?
Hmm.
He said, one seed, two seed, eight seed, mustard seed. Mm. Get on LeBron James. Give me a little water and watch it grow. Mm. Okay.
He's got the ingredients.
Guess what's growing in the basement right now at Staples? The Clippers are growing
something's
in the basement.
Happening.
We're going to go that. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go that and we're going to show you a little something on Sunday because we got the Celtics.
Yeah.
We're going to go down to the basement, get this fire extinguisher because they got a little grease fire. Mm. They trying to start. They tried to burn start it. We got a little grease fire going down. We're going to put it out. Mm. Put that out.
Yep.
We got something for you in March. Mm. We got you twice in March.
You better hope that fire don't start burning good.
Mm. They ain't burning. Because you see LeBron started cooking with Crisco. LeBron, you know, Crisco burned hot.
I can rely on AD and LeBron, but if the Clippers get going, it's going to be a tough one.
When they going to get going? When the guy missing four games a month?
Right. It's going to be hard. I know.
He want to talk about employee of the month. Mm. And you're missing four work days. Where they do that at, Stacks?
Yeah, I don't know what they do.
Somebody's going to be healthy when it comes to playoff time.
Healthy?
Yep.
And you see, it works for him.
Mm-hmm. It does work for him.
Let me ask you a question. AD hurt, and LeBron taking five games a month off. We kill it.
Yeah, they kill
it. We kill it.
Facts.
Well, in any other sport, truly.
But Kawhi gets praised for the very thing that old Skip Bayless, because I happen to be on the show. Skip Bayless, we had just started. We was in our infancy. He would beat up LeBron. LeBron, give him something. Go on the road. This team only sees you once a year. I ain't heard a peep. Mm. Kawhi sit down 2-3 games. Can't play back-to-back. At 28.
Kawhi has been doing this since he was 19 when he came into the league. This is what he's been. He's been injury managing the whole time.
No, they don't injury manage.
It's still not playing. Let's just leave it at that.
To sum this up, I'm going to quote the great Kevin Durant, out of sight, out of mind. Okay. Right now, we miss you, Kevin, the best player on the planet.
You're looking good, too.
Yeah, I know. I got it. You saw him recently, right?
Good.
But I'm going to dredge up a quote here that he uttered to our Rick Bucher about why players don't want to play with LeBron. It's because he's the drama king, and it's hard to play in his shadow, especially when he's a Laker. You know, it's bad enough in Cleveland, let alone at Staples when you're a Laker in purple and gold. And Kevin said that LeBron has so many fanboys in the media, even the beat writers just fawn over him. And he goes on to say that the environment just gets toxic with LeBron. It's hard to play with LeBron because it's always something every night. There's always drama. There's always a subplot. There's always something. He's got a force field around him. And it's great for us because we talk about it every day.
You know what that something is? That's always LeBron? Expectations. It's finals. And Kevin Durant didn't know what that was until he went to Golden State.
Yeah.
And then he was going to the finals. He's like, you know what? I want out.
You know another word for that is? Greatness. Mm-hmm. He's just great, you know.
Okay.
To whom much is given, much is required.
Oh, GOAT James.
Yeah.
And they got all that military grade.
Then old GOAT KD, he went to... Oh, GOAT KD went to LeBron's house. He went to the Palace in games 3 back-to-back finals and just took it right to LeBron.
Stacks. Let me ask you a question.
He did do that.
If you take Kevin Durant and you put him in Cleveland and you take LeBron and you put him in Golden State with Steph, Klay, and Draymond, is KD and the Cavs beating LeBron and Golden State?
I'm not going to even say that. We'll see if he can win one in Brooklyn. We'll just leave it there. I'm not going to even
Thank
if
you.
That.
You know better.
Because he in that type of situation in Brooklyn. He don't have all the ammunition he had in Golden State.
Mm. What you mean?
He can do it.
He got
Dinwiddie. He got LeVert. He got Kyrie.
Come on now.
You put Kyrie third on
He got Kyrie. He no, definitely no. got Kyrie.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely
you
got Kyrie.
You don't need him to. But he had Harden and he had Russ.
Mm.
All right.
They was young.
Mm. Oh, not young.
Well, that for now. We still got a little more time.
No mercy.
Speculation about what the Patriots might do at the quarterback position continues as Tom Brady is currently set to become a free agent. Peter King believes that if the Patriots want to move on from Brady, then Andy Dalton would be the best option for New England. Dalton is still under contract for one more season, so the Patriots would need to make a trade to acquire the 32-year-old QB. So, Shannon, how good would the Patriots be with Andy Dalton at QB?
I still believe they are a playoff team with Andy Dalton at quarterback. Coach Belichick defense, I believe they'll be equal. I don't know if they'll be 10, 11, 12, 13 points good. I still believe they'll be. Coach Belichick's always going to put a top 10 defense, scoring defense on the field. Josh McDaniels does a great job of designing a scheme, and he would just tailor a scheme that fits what Andy Dalton does really well. For me, Skip, I just think the organizational structure of the New England Patriots is just too good for them to drop off a cliff if they have a decent quarterback. And I believe Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton went to the playoffs, what, three of his first 4 years, maybe? Yeah, I think three of his first 4 years. Had some big seasons, made the Pro Bowl a couple of seasons, skipped. So, and if you look at what the Patriots are without Brady starting, they're 13-6. 13-6. Matt Castle. Matt Castle, Skip, you know, he became a household name filling in for Tom Brady. Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett are starters in the league filling in for Tom Brady. It's just something about the structure in New England and Coach Belichick and Josh McDaniels that I have the utmost confidence that they'll get this thing right. And Andy Dalton would be a great place to start. So, unlike you, Andy Dalton had the 25th scoring defense. The Patriots had number one. And Andy Dalton had six losses by 1 point. I mean, one score. I still believe they're a playoff team and get to the playoffs. I'm not betting against Coach Belichick.
This is laughable.
It ain't.
To me.
Skip, please respond.
And you know,
Andy Dalton finished last year second to last in QBR. Second to last only to Mason Rudolph of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Way to go, Andy Dalton. He has a career QBR of 52, which is just slightly above average QBR. Andy Dalton has played four playoff games in his life.
Yeah.
And in those four playoff games, all losses, he threw one touchdown pass to six interceptions. And you're telling me that Andy Dalton will step right in for Tom Brady, and it'll be business as usual in Foxborough. Good luck.
They'll be a playoff team because what division do they play in, Jenny? The historically worst division in football, which is the AFC East.
And I'm not even sure they'd be better than the Miami Dolphins next year because the Dolphins started showing some real signs of life
late in the year. You guys did not show signs of life because what happened? Oh, you want to talk about that?
What happened was that Belichick's defense gave up a 75-yard drive to Fitzmagic at the end of the game
that
wrecked the season.
Coach, I can see Coach Belichick was seething.
Tommy came right back and drove them about 80 yards for the touchdown that should have won it 24-20 until Ryan Fitzpatrick was allowed to drive 75 yards for a last-second score.
You know what I love?
What?
I love how you always talk about Coach Belichick when Coach Belichick's defense lacks and gives up. But what about Mahomes? When Mahomes left the field, his team was in the lead. But all you want to do is just heap praise on Tom Brady. Why not give those guys, why not give some of the guys that lead game-winning drives against Coach Belichick's defense? How about give them some credit instead of blaming Coach Belichick? You don't blame the defense when Tom Brady does it. You give Tom credit. Can we get some credit for the other guy? That's all I'm asking.
I'm not talking about Patrick Mahomes. I'm talking about Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle
TCU. Well, he'd be perfect. He'd be perfect up in Boston. You know, they had the muskets in Boston.
They got a musket.
They got a rifle now.
He'd be the Red Musket. That's what he would be up in Boston. So let's get this straight. Andy Dalton is 0-4 in his playoff career, and Tom Brady is 73-35.
Think about that.
That's pretty insane. 9 Super Bowls with 6 wins. Should have won a couple of more. You know
what you mean 73-35?
Say that again, 73-35.
In playoffs.
No,
I'm sorry. Touchdowns, interceptions.
Yeah. I was like, wait.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's 30-11 in games.
Which is still unbelievable.
Okay. 30-11.
It is amazing for DeFore.
9 Super Bowls with 6 wins, and he played in 13 straight AFC championship games. That's extraordinary compared to what Andy Dalton didn't do, and he did have A.J. Green, who's pretty great, right?
Well, A.J. been hurt couple of years. He's been really nicked. And yeah, guess what? I tell you what. I bet you'd love to have A.J. Green, though, wouldn't you?
Where?
In New England.
Oh, sure.
I would
love to have anybody in New England. But, again, Tom Brady is not going back to New England. Andy Dalton, again, according to Peter King, would be the next best hope for New England. And unless Bill Belichick pulls some rabbits out of his hat, which I don't see coming, he's going to have to make some shockingly spectacular additions to this team. It looks below average to me. I don't think it looks like a playoff team without Tom Brady, especially with Andy Dalton.
Because they're so depleted, Skip, you might have to overpay to get people to come, especially if Tom Brady's not there anymore.
Okay.
So you're going to probably, you know, Denver was able to get a lot of guys to come to play with Peyton Manning. Great offense. You're going to be ahead a lot, so you get an opportunity to rest the quarterback. You get some interceptions. Well, if Tom Brady's not there, you're going to definitely have to overpay to get free agents to come to New England.
Did Seattle overpay for our friend Greg Olsen yesterday? They gave him 1 year, $7 million. That doesn't sound like overpaying.
No.
And again, we had Greg on at the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and then it was that afternoon that we heard he's no longer a Carolina Panther.
Right.
But I thought that afternoon when I heard that, he's destined for New England, because at that point I was thinking maybe Brady would go back because Greg Olsen would be a pretty good alternative.
Skip, we saw Jerry Cook. Mm-hmm. Jerry Cook, I don't know what it is, but he plays well. He makes plays
wherever
he goes.
I don't know how he's bounced around because I would keep him.
And my thing is, you don't think I think he's better than what New England had. I love Ben Watson, but Jerry Cook.
39 years old.
Jerry Cook would have been
much better.
Yes.
Hmm. And he really helped Drew Brees and company.
And look what he did for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, look what he did for Aaron Rodgers. Look what he did to my Cowboys.
Yeah, he went to Jared.
Of the decade, right?
He went to Jared.
He went to Jared, okay? So, again, when Greg Olsen didn't sign with New England, and it sounded like New England wasn't even in the Derby.
I don't believe it was.
Right?
I spent a little time with him. I don't think he mentioned a lot of New England.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. So, I'm thinking, okay, you don't even want Greg Olsen, so what are you doing?
But, Skip, you know, I know it's, you know, they're going to make the playoffs and they normally play in AFC championship games and they normally get to compete and win Super Bowls. But Skip, it's not, New England's not for everybody, because you really have to suppress who you are and what you are as a player to go play there.
Okay.
And everybody can't do that.
Well, I can't wait to see Bill Belichick without Tom Brady, who was always the mediator in the locker room. He was the one guy in the quarterback position who bought completely into all of Belichick's nonsense.
Well, it
right?
definitely makes it easier when that guy buys in.
When that guy buys in, you're good in the locker room.
Yes.
And he bought in for 20 years.
Yep.
Well, if the quarterback isn't buying in, if it's Andy Dalton, who doesn't seem like exactly a dominating leader type to me, well, then...
It's like any relationship, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
I've been loyal to you. I've been doing all this for 20 years. And that person that you're talking to right now, they can't do any of that.
Mm.
Don't worry about that.
Mm.
I don't want to be with you anymore. Mm. Coach Belichick said, I don't want to be with you. I know what you did.
Okay.
We had some great times. It was great. These 20 years have been unforgettable.
Okay. I want to see Bill Belichick flying solo.
You're the father of my six Super Bowl championship.
That is correct.
But somebody else coming along.
Okay.
Take your place.
Here we go.
Somebody else coming along.
The Red Musket. Have fun.
Good for Greg Olsen, though.
I should have never brought that up.
I like it.
1 year. That's impressive.
Yep.
That nickname. Mm. I don't think you would appreciate it.
No, Skip gave that nickname.
I like it.
I just mentioned Musket.
The Red Musket. It's a single shot weapon, right? You have to load it.
It is. No mercy.
Don't miss the most anticipated title fight in years. Undefeated heavyweight champ Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in the rematch the sports world has been waiting for. Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Buy it now on pay-per-view or the Fox Sports app. And yesterday's press conference between these two, well, it got extremely heated with profanity-laced insults and trash talk flying back and forth. How about we take a listen to some of the highlights?
Guys, please take a seat. Let's start the news conference.
Mike, be back.
You big dog.
And I brought you to
I'm
big
talking.
Time boxing.
Tyson,
I give you your
I'm
biggest payday
banana peel
you've ever had.
I'm talking big woman.
You was fighting in front of 100,000 people.
I'm talking big mama.
TV.
I brought you back.
You know, you're
Well, Shannon, in your opinion, who won the press conference?
I don't really know, because at the end, Skip, they were very complimentary of each other, so you don't really know. You know, obviously, they're still trying to build a fight up and try to set it up. But I'm gonna give a slight edge to Fury, because Deontay Wilder was talking. He's like, okay, I'm undefeated, you're undefeated, we're the first and third ranked heavyweights. And Deontay asked him, like, well, who's number one? He's like, I'm number one. And you mean to tell him, and Wilder's like, so I'm number three. Who's number two? Fury's like, your mama. So, you know, he got a little jab in there like that. But, Skip, you know, like I said, I don't really know if there's really any animosity between these guys. You know when Tyson fought, Tyson was real with it. Press conference, Skip, I don't know if you remember this. You remember Riddick Bowe and Larry Donald was going to fight in 94.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we got the video, but I had him to pull it. This is when you know a press conference for real, and guys really don't like each other. We got that video. Watch this, Skip.
Whoa.
Okay, I don't like you.
Whoa.
So, Skip, if I, you run the risk of messing up your money before you actually get in the ring to make your money. That's when you're like, okay, this thing for real. How Larry Donald stood and take two flush like that, woo! I'm gonna give a slight edge. You know, Skip, you know how these press conferences go. They go a little over the edge. People face things. Yeah. I'm sure there are people that listen like, ugh, I don't know. But it's all, you know, showmanship, selling a fight. But I'm gonna give a slight edge. I give a slight edge to Fury. Not so sure that's gonna take place in the ring, but okay.
Skip. I give a huge edge to Wilder.
Really?
Because to me, if you watch it carefully, Fury is acting. Fury looked like he had been studying videos of Conor McGregor. He's trying to go Conor McGregor. Yeah. Fury was selling. Deontay Wilder was dead serious, and it got real deep serious for a while. I agree they tried to sort of kiss and make up at the end in a little way, but but there was this one long exchange about who needs who more in the middle of this thing that got, it got pretty ugly. And it was very interesting to me because the Wilder I saw, and I don't know him personally, but it looked 100% legit angry. And he was talking about, and he was saying it right across the moderator, obviously, to the face of his soon-to-be opponent. And he said, don't he ever dare say that he got me to big time boxing. I'll slap him. And I believe if he'd had the chance at that moment, he might not have decked him, but he would have slapped him, which can be an even worse insult.
Oh, yeah, decking, right? Yeah, you slap a man,
Yeah, okay. He says, Wilder continued, don't ever forget when I found you, you were strung out on coke, which, by the way, Fury has admitted to.
Right.
And Wilder goes on, when I found you, you was like big as a house, which was about 400 pounds, contemplating killing yourself, which he has admitted to. So don't you ever forget, I brought you back.
Right.
There is truth to that.
True.
But then Fury countered much more rationally and reasonably. You know, he wasn't angry. He was just defending himself. And Fury said back to Wilder, yeah, he gave me an opportunity, but I gave him the biggest paydays of his whole life. Brought him to the biggest stage in the world, and here he is. This is how he thanks me? I put millions into his account. You owe me everything. Welcome to big-time boxing. Okay? There's truth on both sides to that.
Exactly.
Because the truth is, they needed each other. Right?
Yes.
Okay, because remember, after Fury, after the Klitschko fight, he just dropped out of sight. He went 3 years without fighting.
Because he lost the belt, Skip. Remember, he lost the belt because he couldn't face the automatic challenger. So he lost the belt within a month.
He's talked about all of his depression and his cocaine use. And it was Wilder who went to him and said, hey, come back and fight me. And you're going to have to fight a couple other guys to get ready for our first fight.
Right.
And he did, and it was a big payday on a bigger stage because it was a Staples.
Right.
Neither one of them had deserved even Staples to that point.
Right.
You could argue that Fury had.
Right.
But Wilder had not. So all of a sudden, these are two huge paydays.
Right.
But in the end, Wilder was getting insulted by the fact that he's being insulted by the guy he felt like he went and got and saved.
Because you wouldn't be Deontay if it wasn't for me.
Right.
He was, and Skip, he was knocking people out, but we were like, okay, the level of competition, are they any good? It wasn't until he got with Fury, because we believe Fury is a skilled boxer. He's legit.
We know he is.
So, okay, he goes the distance. So now, but they needed each other, Skip, for the simple fact, if we believe these are the three of the best heavyweights, Wilder, Fury, and Anthony Joshua. The way you want to put them. Joshua seemed unwilling to fight either one of the guys.
Yeah.
So it's only natural that the two of the three end up fighting. So now Joshua tried to take a little cream puff, didn't prepare adequately, and got carried. So some of the luster, some of the shine is off of him.
Definitely.
Now we get these two guys. Styles make fights. We always heard that, Skip. We get the classic guy, the counterpuncher guy, pivots, a great rope, control the ring, and then you got a guy. See, the thing that, like, look, when he shoots the jab, when Deontay Wilder shoots the jab, he's not shooting the jab like Lennox Lewis and Larry Holmes. They shot the jab to hurt you, Skip. He's just basically using it as a rangefinder to see how close he can get to you before he comes with that bomb. So he's not trying to really try. So I'm interested to see, because we heard Fury says, I'm going to take the fight to him. I'm going to try to suffocate him, put pressure on him.
Okay.
But for him, but the thing is, Skip, with this guy here, normally guys, as the rounds dissipate and you've been fighting, maybe not so much for heavyweights because they don't expend the kind of energy. Mm-hmm. They just don't throw frivolous punches like lightweight mm-hmm. because that's a lot of man you got to try to move around mm-hmm. him on you and throwing punches like that. But for him to have dynamite in the 12th round, Fury. And Fury admit he knows. He's never out of harm's way.
Yep. So, in the end, my takeaway from watching all of this, start to finish, was yesterday I told you I love the way that Fury finished that fight because it shocked me because he attacked after he sort of resuscitated himself. Right. I don't know how he got up, but he got up. And I thought the count was too long. Right. But he did get up, and then he went into attack mode, probably out of just sheer desperation.
Yeah, he had
to. Started working.
Right.
And so now he's just out there on a limb saying, I'm going to rough him up in the first round. I'm going to knock him out in the second round because I'm going to attack him from the start.
Right.
And that is truly offending Wilder because he was saying yesterday, you can't knock out me or anybody else. You're not that guy.
Right,
so he was calling him out. I felt real raw anger from Wilder.
Right.
And I believe that now I'm starting to lean toward him in this fight because I think he's going to carry it into the fight.
Right.
I think if he can pull it off, he will punish him as quickly and convincingly as he can punish him.
Yeah, but I think he's going to have to, you know, be a little bit more aggressive in the fight because, you know, Wilder, he's methodical. He's just trying to figure it out. And he let guys get ahead of him. I mean, you look at Ortiz. Ortiz was ahead of him because he, you know, counting him, was doing all that, but he got reckless. Mm. He got close to him, and they hit the light switch on him, and it was out.
People are excited about it, too.
Well, they should be, because I think Wilder's going to try to put him down quickly.
Let me take it back, Skip. You know why people are... We got an American heavyweight. For the longest time, it was Lennox Lewis. It was the Klitschko brothers.
Yeah.
We got an American heavyweight.
No, it's a big deal.
Yeah, we like with Ali and Foreman and Frazier and Ken Laird-Holm, Mike Tyson. Mm. But for the longest, you know, the heavyweights are playing defensive end and power forward in the NBA and the NFL now. Yeah.
They are.
Because you look at Wilder, like 6'7".
Size alone,
he should be playing basketball. He should be a defensive end.
6'9".
Yep.
The cheapest ticket right now, and this is the upper bowl, is just under $500. So, I mean, the popularity for this in Vegas, couple days.
I may take the old private jet and shoot on out.
Are you?
Doubt you're going to do that, but
I was
you can live it up.
It.
Yeah.
I was thinking about
Thinking about it?
Thinking about it. Take the old G6.
Must be nice.
G6.
Must be
park
nice.
Park that Van Nuys right now. Oh,
you got it parked in your driveway.
No, that's in Van Nuys.
Feel free to share with me anytime.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.